From the Marquee Media Studio inside Mark Tank, it's the Mark Haney Show.
Yes, on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in the hometown we love. And today's show really is on point in terms of identifying what the entrepreneurial revolution can become. I'm going to be joined by Monique Brown, co-founder of the Growth Factory. We're going to talk about what's happening with the Backyard Advantage, because it's coming together. Small towns around America are rising up, and Sacramento is no different, but it doesn't happen alone. So today we're going to be talking about GFX, our big event that's coming up on August 25th. But we're also going to be talking about how we are coming together and uniting as, I guess, as leaders with other leaders, working collaboratively with the rest of the entrepreneurial ecosystem in Sacramento. So stick around. I think you're going to enjoy today's show and really find out more about what I am so passionate about.
Entrepreneurs are the heroes of the American economy. They take the risks, create the opportunities, and move the molecules. Now, back to the Marquee Media Studio, it's the Mark Haney Show.
You know, today's going to be an interesting show because we're going to be talking about this startup called the Growth Factory that Monique and I and our other co-founder, Rick, launched back in September. And I think with any startup, there's kind of things change pretty fast. So I am here with Monique Brown. She is the co-founder of the Growth Factory. And today we are going to talk about how fast things are changing and how fast things are moving with the Growth Factory. We're also going to be talking about our big event coming up, GFX, on the 25th of August. But I think, Monique, what I want to maybe just give a little bit of your background for our audience, if they haven't. She's been on the show before, but let's make sure that we get our family audience out there up to speed on where you came from and how you got how you bumped into me.
Yeah, it's a long and storied path. I definitely have not followed a traditional route in my life. So I just kind of go where things are interesting and fun to build. So started off in the Bay Area pre-dot-com boom, actually in tech media with Ziff Davis, who at the time was the largest publisher of like the tech media publications, PC Mag and all that kind of stuff. Oh, yeah. Moved over to launch a new network with them, ZDTV, which was bought by Paul Allen of Vulcan Ventures, and ran a couple, did production on a couple tech-related TV shows, and had five kids kind of in between there. And
Squeezed those in.
And really worked on a lot of locally owned small businesses with entrepreneurs who were launching things locally and supporting them in all sorts of ways. While I was having the kids. And then
and by the way, for our audience, Monique has five daughters. They're just beautiful girls, and they're like the perfect angels might not be the right way to frame it, but they're like the ideal children. They came help with our events. And I mean, whatever you've done as a parent is something that we should probably talk about. That is like, how did you do this? Because these kids are unbelievable. I'm sidetracking a little bit, but I know they're an important part of your life, and they've been a huge part of Haney Biz and the Growth Factory as well. So anyway, I'm sorry for sidetracking a little bit, but you know, anybody that has ever met your family is like blown away.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I got pretty blessed somehow. I don't know how that worked, but I got pretty blessed.
Five little women.
Five amazing people in my life. Yeah. So anyways, yeah. And then, you know, looking around and said, gosh, it's kind of hard to live in the Bay Area with five kids and, you know, housing costs and quality of education, access to education, all that. And we literally just looked around the country and said, where do we want to go? And Shockingly to some people at the time, we ended up in the greater Sacramento region. We picked Loomis, moved up here, didn't know a soul. None of my media family had any, you know, I didn't know, like literally did not know a single person when we landed here. So anyways, somehow got connected with Jack Crawford, who now is the founder, GP of Impact Venture Capital. He was very generous to kind of take me under his wing and really learned a lot from him. It was my first introduction to the entrepreneur space. Lots of tech in the Bay Area and looking at entrepreneurship from looking at it from the consumer lens, like what are the new innovations coming online for me kind of thing. And that was the way that we covered those stories. But this was the first time kind of looking under the hood and thinking about how does an entrepreneur build a company? How do they fund it? How do we help them? And so Jack, who has always been a little ahead of his time, I think, was really trying to kickstart the ecosystem here and had launched something called the Entrepreneur Showcase and went on board and learned a ton from him working on that. And that's where I met you.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You guys were building out an accelerator and you fast forward to now. That was probably, was that about 8 years ago or something like that?
That's about right.
Yeah. And fast forward to today. Now we're building an accelerator.
Yeah.
And we put ours on steroids where Jack has kind of pivoted from that. And now he's doing venture capital in a great way, but is not as focused on, helping the emerging
local
startups.
Yeah. Building. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting, but now we're doing that, but we didn't get here, straight away. It took us a bit. So I met you then. I think I was speaking to an audience of entrepreneurs.
You came and spoke to the companies that we were working
That's
with.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. And then a few years later, that's when our paths crossed throughout the time through different things. But that's when I guess recruited you to come help me figure this journey out.
Yes.
And so that is when we started helping Haney Biz founders and doing events and kind of trying to change the community.
Right. Yeah. No, a lot of fun and a lot of opportunity and potential. And a huge puzzle, like what's the best way to do this? What do we do with what we've got? You know, what are we trying to accomplish? More questions than answers, you know, to start. But I think from the beginning, you know, you always had a very a specific vision of like where you wanted, you know, like the feeling that you wanted to create in the community you wanted to create. And so that was kind of the driving force behind it.
I felt that it was possible to build a group of people that all love each other as business partners and have that be a really powerful force. And I think it happened at Haney Biz in a nice way, even though we stumbled a lot through that process. It happened in a nice way. But then in September, we launched the Growth Factory and invested into our first 13 companies, and things have really been a whirlwind since then. And maybe just back up a little bit. So the Growth Factory is a startup accelerator, which is kind of like a boot camp with an accompanying venture fund and a Backyard Advantage, which is really part of our, you're the secret sauce, but it's part of our, I guess, differentiation, a major part of our differentiation.
Well, I think the differentiator, the startup accelerators and venture funds exist around the world. We're part of the Global Accelerator Network, which is a group of 120 plus people, programs like us, and communities outside of Silicon Valley that believe that, you know, great entrepreneurs can be supported anywhere and great companies can be built anywhere if you have the right ingredients and right support. And I think we believe that here. I think the secret sauce, and it kind of dovetails into GFX, is, you know, this concept of the Backyard Advantage and really going back to your initial vision of like the backyard where you have a community of entrepreneurs that love one another. This team is very dedicated to that feeling and believes in the power that feeling and that manifesting that feeling can have on the success of our founders. And I don't see that in any other program that I've intersected with at the level that we have that here. Mm-hmm. And we're early, so we don't do it perfectly. Like, I think the heart is there, you know, the execution is, we're working on that, you know what I mean? But But the heart that is in this program is very unique, I think, in this world, just in general.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about founders in general, because they have certain they're all different, but they have certain commonalities. And we see this in the 26 companies we've invested into just in this, you know, since September. But just generally, what differentiates maybe a startup founder from a regular business person or entrepreneur?
Good question. I think what differentiates the founders that we work with versus the ones that, you know, we don't work with, so to speak, is we, you know, we're investing in something called venture backable companies. So companies that, you know, have visibility into, like, you know, if we're going to just cliche it, the $1 billion TAM, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and so
total addressable market.
Yeah. So they're looking at a very large market and significant rapid growth, right? Like, and that is the kind of company that we're looking at when we look at accelerator and fund companies. But there are a lot of fantastic entrepreneurs out there, people who are problem solvers, builders, creators, who are taking risks, who are see things differently, doing things differently, bringing new value to this community. And so part of the growth of the Growth Factory this last year has been the partnership with the City of Roseville. So in addition to the Growth Factory Accelerator, we now have a program launching called Roseville Rising, and that'll kick off in September. And that really widens, you know, the description of the kinds of companies that we can engage in, because Roseville Rising does not have an accompanying venture fund, so we don't have to restrict ourselves to companies that can meet those metrics, mm-hmm. Which is really important for the companies in our accelerator, right? And so it widens who we can work with in this community.
One of our mantras around here, I guess I coined the phrase, and nobody builds a truly great company alone. So one of the things I see with founders, especially the ones that with virtually not a big, no team, or, you know, they're alone in many ways, but nobody builds a truly great company alone. And so it can be lonely. You see that even in medium-sized companies where, you know, it's lonely at the top.
Yeah.
But maybe dive into that a little bit, and this sort of feeling of solitude that can crush any business. How does the Growth Factory sort of help step in terms of not making you feel quite so alone?
Yeah, no, it's a really good point. And in so many ways, it's the simplest value creator, because it's really over and over again, we hear from our founders that they're just so grateful to have peers around them that are going through the same process that they can talk through. And the Growth Factory accomplishes that just by running cohorts, like bringing people together as a cohort to kind of, you know, grow their businesses together. And so there's no like rocket science necessarily to that. It's just about creating the space, building the platform, intentionally connecting. And then we have like very specific, you know, kind of programmatic elements that we integrate to support as well in our mentor community and our founder to CEO program and stuff like that. But ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, we can almost step out of the picture sometimes when you get the founders in a room together, because they start talking with one another, exchanging ideas, offering suggestions and feedback, meeting offline to collaborate on things. This particular cohort number two, we were just talking about this the other day. It's like, wow, it's fun to watch, right? You have companies that are like, hey, we could work together on some of this stuff, or my product can help you with this and you can help me with that, and I'll connect you with so-and-so and whatever, right? And that's like, we just set the table, right? Yeah. Like, and they showed up and they're showing up. But I think that's important to, because it also has to do with how we select the companies that we work with, yeah. Right? It's important that we are very intentional about the kind of community that we want to curate is a community of founders who do want to help each other.
Yeah, it's interesting. I hear in our meetings, you know, our group meetings, and I see this as being sort of a helpful way for entrepreneurs to engage, is to basically be a little bit more vulnerable. And this is kind of a safe space where, you know, hey, here's what's going on with my business. It's not perfect. I'm trying to figure it out. I haven't quite discovered the, you know, the thing that's going to take me to the moon. I'm in the process of doing that. And so having that help and that sounding board where you're, you know, you're a lot of times you meet people and you're not, you're, you know, what do you do for a living? And you're not getting vulnerable with somebody that you meet. Now, this is a group of people that get it, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I think that's a huge point. And I think also that's part of that backyard advantage and the really, again, I'm just going to go back to the culture setting, like in your vision for creating love around these founders, because, you know, if you're at an accelerator in Silicon Valley, it's not necessarily about being vulnerable. It's about competing. It's about, you know, posturing. It's about making sure you look like you're going to succeed and, you know, kind of you're the, you've got all the stuff it takes, you know what I mean? And here it's like, obviously, like we all want to succeed and we want to support each other in succeeding. And, you know, we have some competitive people, like that's what makes them driven and capable, but there's permission. Like we want to know when things are hard. We want to roll our sleeves up and dig in. You know, it's not like a punishing environment. It really is a safe space. And it's really like we're in this with the founders, like our team is. And I think they get that. And you can start to see that they're in it with each other too. And I do think that makes this special and different.
Yeah, I think it's an advantage. I think too, for just for our audience, the venture-backed companies that we're, venture-backable companies that we're investing into, well, let me step back. I think all entrepreneurs need to be innovative in order to win and succeed. And they've got to figure out a way to build a better mousetrap. But the founders that we're working with are really solving these enormous world problems. Can you give us an example or maybe a few examples of some that you feel like are really solving some of the world's biggest problems?
Yeah, for sure. So one of my favorite examples, Dr. Ishita Shah, founder of Matrubials, and she's coming out of UC Davis and the milk program that they have there, the human milk program they have there, and she's identified peptides in human milk that can be used to treat women's health issues, that, you know, recurring infections in women that today's antibiotics are not effective at solving. She's in kind of pre-FDA trials to bring this product to market. It will affect like a billion women globally.
Oh my gosh.
But her portfolio, her IP portfolio, other peptides that she's identified, you know, can address so many different problems from burn wounds, you know, to eye infections. You know, there, it just, she has this, it's not unlimited, but just a significant portfolio that she's developing and bringing to market. And she is one of the most gracious, coachable, driven, kind people that you meet. And she's so passionate about, you know, bringing this to market and solving these problems. So she's one of the founders that I would call out.
She's amazing. I mean, it's probably a little bit like your kids. Which one is your favorite, right? It's
I love talking about all of them. It's like people ask me, like, who have you invested in? I'm like, sit, have a seat, you know.
So we have stuff that's in the medical space coming out of UC Davis, but we have entrepreneurs. They're kind of, a lot of people don't realize how many great founders are in Sacramento.
Great. Yeah. That was the pushback when we first started this effort. Remember last year, people were kind of, you know, they kind of look at us a little askance, like, oh, well, there's not even that many companies here. And it's like, well, we disagree, you know, because even with HaneyBiz, the door was revolving with really innovative people with cool ideas. It's just they weren't building their networks here because the support system wasn't obvious, right? So they were leaving here and going to the Bay Area for that kind of support. But since then, you know, everything from cybersecurity to enterprise SaaS addressing human resources issues to, you know, some really fun B2C companies like Foodum, which is a marketplace that connects private chefs with busy families, starting at $100 a month. The number of working mothers that I share that with that are, you know, rapidly jotting down the URL, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, someone to make your food for $100 a month.
In your kitchen, right? Yeah. So, I mean, and, you know, and then obviously like John Shoemate with Remember Dada is really helping families mm-hmm. tell the stories of their loved ones. And so just a really wide range from, you know, like you said, like medical technology to media with Shared Vision and the creator economy, sort of addressing the creator economy to our consumer.
There are brilliant people in Sacramento, I think, and they come out of, like you mentioned, Spencer from Shared Vision. He came out of VSP, right? So these large corporations have innovative people. We've had a few come out of Intel.
Yep, Renetta's out of Intel.
So these people are here, and now with this with COVID, we've got a large group of technical, big thinking people moving into our region, and so I think our the number of possibilities and companies that could just spawn out of Sacramento, it's growing. It's like success breeds success. Plus then we had COVID and all this tech talent moves here.
100%. And I'll just call out Samuel Taylor's another one of Core Impact, you know, former professional baseball player building a wearable sports technology right here in the region and had considered maybe moving to LA. It's a fashion, it's a sports wearable. So it's the garment plus the tech, right? Plus a software platform. And, you know, he stayed because the support of the community that, you know, was able to rally around him and he's building his company here now and with us. So,
it's so cool to see this happen. And you think about, the people that are helping us and why they have chose to help. It's kind of an interesting thing. So we have these entrepreneurs that are, to me, my why with this is I feel like I live vicariously through these founders, and I really love helping create an opportunity where other people can succeed. And so as they succeed, I feel like I succeeded in own ways as like a, almost like a parent, if you will. And some of the Haney Biz companies that have really blown up, these are like my kids. I was just on the phone with Jeff Rizzo, who built and sold his company, during the middle of COVID for, you know, and it was a life-changing amount of money. And we have other companies that have blown up to be worth, you know, over $1 billion. And these are life-changing things. And when you see where they started and then where they go and they're still going, to me, that's the rewarding part, is that personal thing. Okay, so let's talk about why do you do this? And then maybe we'll talk about the other people that are part of the Backyard Advantage and then why are they joining the cause?
Well, we're really similar in the way that we look at this. So same thing for me is I am fascinated by untapped potential, like, and I'm fascinated by ideas that have possibilities, right? And so I'm a sucker for it. I've had to get like a little more like data driven when we look at companies. Yeah. I think both you and I are like, that sounds good.
I love it. Like, I love you. I love the idea.
Let's do it.
Let's change the world. But we have to be selective.
We do. But it is, there is nothing more enjoyable, rewarding, interesting, and fun than working with people who are creative and have ideas for how to do things better and differently and are so appreciative too of the support. And it's just a really gratifying effort. And I think that to your point, like as people succeed, our entire community, like for me, done a lot of nonprofit work, done a lot of community service work. And, you know, as I get older, you realize like the more you're able to create economic opportunity, really the better it is for everyone. And how, in my view, how better to create economic opportunity than to empower people to build that for themselves, right? You know, and so
being around these entrepreneurs, they're so driven, they're so ambitious. It's not the typical person that's working for the weekend, playing for the paycheck or whatever. They're making no money when they start out. Yeah. They don't really get paychecks at the beginning. They're banking on the come, and many of them have risked it all to attempt to do this great feat. And so that stuff kind of rubs off on you a little bit. It's like you get around people that are that driven, they're working, you know, really long hours and they're really appreciative of because you were there at the beginning. It's really cool. And I think that that's part of the reason why people are joining the Growth Factory as well in terms of our partners, is because they see us as driven individuals, putting it all out on the line, trying to do something that's important for Sacramento, and ultimately it's important for the world. Okay, so I break our partners up into three categories. We have investor partners, we have civic and corporate partners, and we also have expert mentors and people who are just really good at business that are kind of, I'll group them together. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the investors for a second. So we have near 100 investors, and these are local people putting their money where their town is. Mm-hmm.
That is such a huge, I think it's understated the importance of what's been accomplished in that on that front this last year, and great part due to our other co-founder, Rick Spencer, and mm-hmm. the work that he and Marcus have put into that as well. Like just a tremendous effort to build those relationships and find, you know, people who are aligned with this mission and get them involved and engaged. And, you know, if you tell anyone in Silicon Valley that you have 99 LPs, they'll think you've lost your mind. Mm-hmm. You know, they want like two with large checks, you know. But, you know, our mission is about like igniting the entrepreneurial revolution. Well, the other side of that is having the capital and getting the capital off the sidelines and activating and educating high net worth individuals, you know, to participate in this asset class in our community may be the most impactful thing that, you know, we'll see in 10 years, right? But yeah. That may be the most impactful thing that has been accomplished here, because as they become more sophisticated, you know, their investment levels can increase, or, you know, and the level of success that they have, and then, you know, to fuel continued investments. But they're also modeling, you know, behavior and idea, you know, for others to kind of join forces. And so we start with 99 this year, you know, could that be 1,000, you know, in 5 years, mm-hmm. right? And what would that do for our community?
Yeah, you think about that, getting some of that money off the sidelines. Because a lot of our investors, well, a lot of people out there in the audience, they're not really as familiar with this asset class. The asset class of venture capital has grown tremendously over the years, but Sacramento hasn't necessarily got its fair share. And we have some emerging people like Moneta and Jack and Impact that you mentioned. And there's others, but really, we're a little bit underdeveloped in Sacramento, but because you used one of my favorite questions is, what are you going to do with what you got? You mentioned that. It's something that we talk about a lot because it changes. I think when we started the Growth Factory, I think we looked at, what are you going to do with what you got? You're here in Sacramento. You've been doing some investing. You got a podcast. You know, what's the opportunity here in Sacramento? And I think one of the things that we thought was that Sacramento was sort of, the time might be right for Sacramento to do something big mm-hmm. when it comes to startup, you know, tapping into the startup world and this venture world. And we also looked at it like, okay, so what do we got? And because of the work we've been doing in this region, we know a lot of people, which is kind of an interesting thing. You know a lot of people in the startup community, as do I. I've been the president of the Entrepreneurs Organization. I've been having people on my show for, 7 or 8 years, trying to, you know, share the entrepreneurial message. So we have ended up meeting a lot of people between you and me and our co-founder, Rick. But these people have been waiting for a way yeah. to tap into yeah. this. How do you build a platform where we can help? So we called our friends, and these are like entrepreneurs, successful entrepreneurs around Sacramento, people who have been successful in other businesses. They want to give back and they want to help, and they're putting some skin in the game, which yeah. is interesting. I think that skin in the game is, and the platform we're building is like, we're encouraging you out there to get involved, not just write us a check and hope for a return.
Yeah.
It's write a check and come help it be yeah. successful.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things about that that are really important and interesting. So one is for a one is venture capital is a high risk asset class, right? Like, you know, and we know that and we state that. Yes. And
this
know,
is not investment advice.
And this is not investment advice.
Or solicitation for money.
Right. And, you know, and right now, if you look at like the broader markets, you know, people are, you know, they're getting a little nervous about like the landscape as a whole. What I and people ask me that all the time, like, what does that mean for us? And in some ways, like, I feel like we're even better positioned now than we ever have been. And the reason for that is, you know, I think that Sacramento is a pretty practical place. And so where you're seeing a lot of challenges are on these like high flyers with, you know, extreme overvaluations and, you know, people throwing money at like ideas, just hoping they know they're going to lose 15 out of 16 investments, you know, but they're like, just, you just got to play the game kind of thing. And I think like what's different about what we're doing here is we're really looking at like, how can we help as many of these founders succeed in some way, whether it's with this company or, and hopefully it is with this company, 85% of GAN, going back to Global Accelerator Network, 85% of companies that go through a GAN member accelerator are still in business, right? Mm-hmm. And so like de-risking that and stuff like that. But, you know, so I think that it's important that, you know, people begin to get educated about the asset class and where the opportunities are and where the opportunities are in doing that with us, you know, and the de-risking. But also, like, the model, you know, for many funds, the buy-in is really high and it's prohibitive to a lot of, you know, people, even high net worth individuals. And what I really like about what we did with this first fund is we made that something that was really reasonable for a lot of people in this region to participate in and to try without losing sleep at night. And yeah. I think that was one of the criteria. It's yeah. like, don't write us
we
a check.
We want you to sleep better yeah. at night after you right. agree to invest in yeah, I think that really, because it is risky and yeah. we could, you know, it could not
work.
But
it's like, we've talked about it. It's like venture philanthropy with a lot of upside potential, mm-hmm. right? Like, because the investments that you're making are gonna benefit this community. I don't think there's a question about that. Like, that's... Yeah. That's already happened.
We're already seeing it.
Right? Like, so.
You're creating jobs.
Right. And, yeah. There's no question that's going to happen. And we are going to grow some successful companies, and there are going to be returns from that. And hopefully, you know, we're going to get really good at that, and the returns are going to be great. But without question, you know, you have a lower buy-in. The benefits of that investment stay in your community, right? Like, you're investing in your community. You're not investing into some nameless, faceless company on Wall yeah. Street, right? Like, you're investing into your neighbor, right? Like,
I think some people too, our corporate partners and our mentors, they feel this as well. There's a little bit of a club effect. And when you come in and you're part of the Growth Factory community, it's like, it's almost like a club. This is the leaders of Sacramento coming together to focus on 26 companies. And that club effect is attractive because these are quality people. It's not like you're bringing in accepting checks from people who are, you know, kind of have a no jerks policy.
Yeah.
Right. So
absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, these are people that get it. They get the power of entrepreneurship. And they get what, it's like to, you know, to be in this zone, and they understand the impact that it can make. All right. Let's talk a little bit about our corporate and civic partners. You mentioned Roseville earlier. You know, as I think about why our corporate and civic partners are attracted to what we're doing, and we're still growing the community, but you mentioned the city of Roseville, the city of Rockland, and I know we're talking to others in the region, other municipalities. We're talking to companies like SMUD, and you're not talking to them. They're our partners, Consolidated, Five Star Bank, and others. You know, one of the things that I have heard and learned through conversations with you and them is, you know, nobody wants to become a Kodak or a Blockbuster or a Detroit or, you know, these things that are like, look, we were this big town or this big company relying on one way of going to market. And then all of a sudden technology comes and we're bailing ourselves out because we're, you know, like Sacramento's it's like some people call it a company town, and our company is the government. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we can't be so reliant on state of California government for jobs and so on. Mm-hmm. We've got to drive innovation.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so right. And, you know, from our civic partners standpoint, you know, I think it's really exciting to see a growing awareness of the importance of entrepreneurship as a piece of their economic development portfolio. I think before it was seen as like, nice, you know, it's like a nice to have kind of thing. Oh, that's cute. That's great. That's, you know, those crazies over there, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. But I think now, you know, increasingly communities realize like, you know, this is an important portion of how we should be investing in the business growth in our communities. And there's a lot of data behind why that's the case, but it's exciting to see, you know, the leaders in this region, you know, really their mindset shifting and their focus widening to include entrepreneurs in a meaningful way at the table, which I think is great. And I think they recognize that as an economic development strategy, as a culture building strategy, mm-hmm. right? And then as an innovation strategy as well. And, you know, at GFX, we'll have a panel on, you know, civic and gov tech as well, you know, but cities need to innovate how they're serving their citizens and, you know, how they're managing their assets and their infrastructure, you know, as we move towards the era of flying cars that we saw the other day, mm-hmm. certainly self-driving cars in the near future and stuff like that. I mean, these are all things that require people to solve problems in new ways and to adapt technologies. And so they look at us as well as an innovation partner.
Yeah, you bet. So what does that look like? Does that look like they're inspired by this and taking some of these ideas, innovation ideas, back to their, you know, their own businesses and applying some of that, or what?
Like, yeah, there's what a couple different ways. So one way, and this is something that's really important to both the startups that we're working with and a real opportunity and benefit to our partners, is this the pilot projects mm-hmm. that we run, right? And so I'll use SMUND as an example. They have probably one of the more developed kind of innovation practices in the region. They have a team dedicated to innovation, and we work with them on a regular basis to understand what their innovation priorities are, and then to help bring companies both in our portfolio and, frankly, companies that we see that we haven't invested in if they're aligned, right? Mm-hmm. And because we see a lot of companies, right? And we bring them to the table and, you know, facilitate those introductions and the conversations. And right now, SMUD has decided to move forward with one of our portfolio companies to pilot their technologies for a specific solution. And they're in talks with the second one that might launch in Q1 of 2023. Sierra College is another great example. Part of my role as entrepreneur in residence there is to connect campus to community and to help entrepreneurship kind of become widespread across campus. But Sierra College just this week was meeting with one of our companies and looking at how they might pilot that on campus. They're meeting with another one next week that has great potential to be integrated into their makerspace. Mm-hmm. And so looking at how they bring innovation into their community for the benefit of their students and faculty, and then for our companies, great way to learn fast with, you know, yes. a corporate partner that's willing to kind of build with them.
Yes. And speaking of those partnerships are so valuable and we appreciate them. We also have partnerships with the other universities, Carlson Center, Sac State, with Cameron Law and Dale Carlson and Gary May and Beth Broom over at UC Davis and Aaron Anderson and others, and all the universities around the town. But it makes me think that getting things started, the entrepreneurial thinking as young people, as early as we can, we even see it into the elementary schools at some level.
Yeah, what Matt Boudreau is yes. doing at Acton and you stuff bet. Like that. No, it's definitely something, I'm actually just talking about this as we're developing the Roosevelt Rising Program, as you look at like, how do we help, you know, students recognize the potential to be an entrepreneur. And a lot of it at Sierra College actually right now is just about the mindset. It's like, because that entrepreneurial mindset is increasingly valuable and important in a traditional workplace, right? And so it may not even be about starting your own business at some level. It's just about how do you bring that mindset, that problem solving and innovative mindset into wherever you're working. But one of my favorite stories coming out of Sierra College, and they ran a program called I3, which was a program in partnership with MIT and Lemelson Foundation to really activate entrepreneurship on campus. And at the opening of the Makerspace, which you were part of the ribbon cutting there, you may recall that one of their students, you know, gave a speech about the impact of the program on her. And she started that speech with, well, apparently I'm an entrepreneur. And I love that because it's like that recognition is so exciting, you know.
It's refreshing. Where I think living in a government town, there are a lot of people that grow up just thinking, I'm going to go do what my parents did, and they worked for the government, or they worked for the railroad, or, you know, they had an 8-to-5 job. And in this day and age, you can control you've always been able to control your own destiny, but now more than ever, with venture capital and with all the different resources like the Growth Factory, it's more possible than ever to create whatever life you want for yourself. You can dream a little bit bigger and feel comfortable dreaming a bit bigger. All right, let's talk about the third group that I mentioned, which is our expert partners, our mentor partners. You know, I always say, put your money where your town is. It's a common saying of mine, but time is money.
Oh,
and
yes.
These people are putting in time. They're like some of the most successful people in Sacramento, putting forth their time to help startups, to help founders.
Oh man. I mean, you can't overstate that. It is incredible to me, the generosity and the talent of this group of people that we have. We have about 100 people who've raised their hand to be involved in some way. Some are more engaged than others for a wide range of reasons, you know, but everybody from someone like Craig Hetrick, who's worked with some of the most successful entrepreneurs in town, who's leading our founder to CEO program, to, you know, people like Marcos Fernandez, who has his own venture fund to run and is so incredibly thoughtful and generous with his time when it comes to coaching our founders on their pitches and presentations and go-to-market strategies. And, you know, we just, it's just very wide-ranging, and experts from, you know, digital marketing experts like Catherine Bateman and Kevin Howe, you know, to legal support from Stoll Reeves and Greenberg Traurig. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's just a wide range of individuals who have something to offer and that have very generously stepped up to the plate to offer that.
Yeah. The one thing that I learned as a child is that unity has got a lot of value. Unity is an asset. And sometimes the potential for unity or love and commitment to one another, it's sitting in front of us, but how do we activate it? And we've begun to do that at the Growth Factory, but our big event, GFX, is a place where we're going to gather.
Yeah.
Can you talk to me about GFX, why GFX, and what will that experience look like for the people that are coming?
Yeah. Why GFX? Well, you know, I think this past year, and you know, it hasn't quite yet been a year, which is really hard to believe. 26 companies, 1.25 million invested, launching a new space in Roseville, 100 LPs, 100 mentors. You know, it has been a whirlwind, right? We're not yet.
You've done a lot of work.
I've done a little work. You too, right? All of us, Rick. You know, it's time to scale the Backyard Advantage. And how do you do that, right? And so really this event it's very founder focused. And it is about inviting the broader community into the vision, and really helping them see and learn more about these amazing people that are building companies in their backyard. And whenever anybody walks through the door here and you tell them the story of the founders on the wall, they are inspired and in disbelief a little bit. And, you know, this is really an opportunity for people to come see, touch, feel, talk to really amazing, talented founders building companies in our backyard, and to learn about what you can do to get involved, because everybody can be involved, right? You can be a customer, you can be a champion, you can be a word of mouth advocate, you can be a connector, you can be an investor, you can be a mentor. Like there's just, everybody has a value to add to this yeah. effort, right? And so I think there's three components to the event. We have the trade show space where we'll have about 60 demonstrations, you know, from our companies, our partners, our ecosystem partners. You know, we have a couple other programs in town, like Fourth Wave, which is focused on female founders, and they have been a fantastic collaborator. Several of their companies have come through our program. One of our companies is now going through their program. So, you know, they'll be there. I've invited them to bring some of their companies with them. You know, so just an ecosystem, corporate, civic, our companies will be displaying in that trade show space. Great place to just network, communicate, see, touch, feel. We have the showcase. So 23 companies will be on stage throughout the afternoon presenting. These are not investor pitches. This is not a dog and pony show. This is really important. It's really important because these founders are going to be sharing who they are, where they're at, where they're going, and where you can help, right? And that's really what this is about is, you know, they're doing the work. They're in the trenches, right? It's like, can we hand them a shovel? Like, what can we do for these guys, right? Yeah. You know, and so great way to learn very quickly about what's out there. And then the third piece is, you know, around education. And that's our breakout sessions. We have some really cool breakout sessions, panel discussions on venture and angel investing from SEC Angels and women in technology from Fourth Wave and government tech, fintech, med tech, esports and education, which is a growing field, which is going to be really cool. Creator economy, scaling your business, like just a lot of really great content. And then we have a couple of interactive sessions where people can actually jump into a working session with a couple of our founders and be a part of solving a business challenge that they've identified. We have a mentor sprint that our friends at the Carlson Center and Startup SAC are running for us to really do some rapid mentoring sessions. So we need both startups and mentors to participate in that. It'll be a busy, busy day, but hopefully full of energy. And, you know, one of my favorite things about the event is one of our portfolio companies, Spark, is all about employee recognition and rewards, right? And looking at how to recognize employees at the right time, right place, and in the right way. So we're partnering with them at this event to help people appreciate one another. So there'll be opportunities to spark other attendees throughout the day and really build the love in the community, right? Because that's really what this is all about, is unity and appreciation and positive growth and, hopefully success at the end.
Yeah, I think you said it well, and I think a lot of people, when they think about a conference, they think networking event, you're going to meet some people, maybe you get a customer, maybe, you know, they kind of have like one view of what an event might look like. Education, of course, often happens, but this is one, everybody wants to have fun, right? Everybody wants to go to an event and have fun. This is going to be fun in a lot of ways, but I think the people at this event that are going to get the most fun are going to sort of change their perspective, put a different lens on what fun looks like. We all know that if somebody gets stuck in the middle of an intersection and nobody's pushing around, one person gets out and starts pushing, so then you jump out of your car and you start helping. Next thing you know, you've pushed somebody out of an intersection, kind of helped out for the day. And when you get back in the car, you're like, I feel good about myself, mm-hmm. right? You buy somebody some coffee or something at Starbucks behind you anonymously, you feel good about yourself. You grow a business and your employees have some success and create some opportunities and buy houses, you feel good about yourself. And I think this is going to be one of those opportunities to feel good about yourself, because you're going to have the opportunity to, we are going to have, together are going to have the opportunity to help people in these things that are like, no big deal. We don't even necessarily have to break a sweat helping them, but we can help a lot. One mm-hmm. connection or one good idea from our audience could be game changing for a founder. And for us, it might be as simple as helping push somebody out of an intersection. Mm-hmm. No big deal to me. I feel good about myself. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'll even get sparked. I'll get a little reward for it too. But really, you're going to feel better about yourself because you came and you gave back a little bit. And hopefully had fun in a kind of a different way than a typical conference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I hope so. I don't doubt it. That's typically what we do. But it is really all about who shows up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it should be a fun event. So any other, just in terms of you know, wrapping up anything else on GFX. It's August 25th, 1 to 5 plus happy hour afterwards at the grounds in Roseville. It's a tremendous event center, Roebling Center. Anything else we need to tell them about GFX?
Early bird tickets are on sale. Oh. They might be like
growthfactory.us.
Yeah, growthfactory.us.
Okay, go to our website.
Yeah.
Growthfactory.us. Follow us on Instagram. Do we have Instagram now?
We do.
We
have some amazing interns. God bless them. So we have, it's at Growth Factory HQ.
And we have LinkedIn now. And we're
Facebook.
Startup. We're just getting this stuff rolling.
We're getting it. Yeah. So Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook and Instagram, it's at Growth Factory HQ. So yeah, for sure.
Come be a part of the Growth Factory community. The Backyard Advantage, we're envisioning this as the most connected community in the world for entrepreneurs. So appreciate you coming on the show.
Appreciate you working
alongside me all these years. And, you know, I love, you know, you are the not so secret sauce of the Growth Factory. Thank you. Monique Brown.
Thank you.
Now, let's get Mark's perspective and closing thoughts from today's show. We're back to the Marquee Media Studio. It's the Mark Haney Show.
Welcome back to the Mark Haney Show. I loved my time with Monique Brown. I have worked with her for the last several years, and she is nothing short of spectacular. She is our not-so-secret sauce at the Growth Factory. But she's also putting on, she's also doing the heavy lifting for this big event on August 25th. It's called GFX. And if you are a venture capitalist, if you are an entrepreneur, if you get it, you understand the power of entrepreneurship and you want to be around that, you know, this could be the best event of the year. I'm going to do everything I can to make this the best entrepreneurial event in Sacramento this year. And it's our first one. So it's August 25th. Would love to see you there. And just a salute to all you out there. Fight the good fight for our freedom, our security, and our way of life. And of course, all you out there fighting the good fight for entrepreneurship. You know what? At Haney Biz and the Growth Factory, we're never above you. We're never below you. We're always by your side. This segment includes the personal knowledge, experiences, and opinions about angel investing by seasoned angel investors. This content is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Nothing in this segment constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, or endorsement.